Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Look, we're a month away from Christmas. We're not passing through Thanksgiving, folks. We will give it its due. We talked about it.
I am. I'm already at Saturday.
Well, some people are already ready for Christmas. You have your tree up?
Oh, we've had our tree up for a month.
God.
It's crazy.
Do you have another tree coming or all the trees that you're going to have up?
We have a little tree by the couch. We have a TV or a tree about 5 feet away. So we have two trees in one room.
Okay.
If we were in Scranton, we'd have two trees, not
Tree trees.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
The elves showed up last night, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is this?
This is Elf on a Shelf.
Find that stinking elf.
Yeah.
Game.
It's not so much a game as it is a long time ago. Our elves started the fun tradition.
Sounds
which
like
is
a big pain in the, you know,
the
what?
Elves arrive with a small gift for the kids. So they look forward to it every year.
When does the elf stop coming?
Sometimes right after Christmas. Other times there's been separation anxiety.
Age wise. Because, you know, the elves, they need a break, too.
Eventually, I hope that'll happen. But right. we're not there yet. It's just another thing to do.
Did somebody, I overheard somebody talking about there's now a new wrinkle to the elves. Do the elves now have pets or anything?
Oh, they have all sorts of stuff. Accessories.
People want to know.
I don't know the story behind it.
I am so glad this came out my kids got older.
It is extremely fun. At first, it really is. These elves come in and they put on a show. It is great. It's so much fun to be creative and have a good time. But eventually it's kind of like a house guest who's overstayed their welcome a little bit. So, mm-hmm. You know, but hey, it's magic from the North Pole. What can we do about it?
What else can you do?
Yeah. What else can you do?
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of things, but Ryan Seacrest will be back, a part of ABC and Dick Clark Productions, for the whole Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. Now he's in the title.
Good for him. I got to be honest. I'm so happy you brought him up. I have never been so happy in my life. I saw him finally on Wheel of Fortune. I hadn't watched it all.
You were so happy?
Because he came out and he's starting to finally look old.
Oh.
I was like, look at him. He's finally aging. Good for us.
That's a really weird situation.
Dark, yeah, he's so thin and gaunt now.
I don't know. I want to see him mad someday. He's just too always together. I want to see someone like show me a little genuine reaction. Anyway, he will team up again with Rita Ora in Times Square. Chicago native Chance the Rapper co-hosts from the Windy City. Las Vegas coverage features retired NFL star Rob Gronkowski alongside Julianne Hough, who makes her New Year's Rockin' Eve co-hosting debut.
Gronk want meet Dick Clark.
I love it. The show will highlight celebrations across Vegas, Chicago, Puerto Rico, and other locations. So you'll be able to get it on ABC December 31st, starting at 8 p.m. We don't know all the performer lineup people yet.
That's always the weird one, too, because they do have live stuff. I have a former intern who lives in L.A. and got invited or got a ticket somehow to the taping.
Okay.
They tape it like a couple weeks in advance. So they're like, all right, everybody, it's already the new year. Act like it's the new year. And like, God. Can we just have a good time? Like, everyone be happy.
That's wild.
Wear your accessories and say 2026.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
I don't know any of those people other than Ryan Seacrest, and I guess I've heard of them all. Okay.
You know who's the new Ryan Seacrest, too, is Gronk? Michael Strahan.
Yeah, he kind of is.
He kind of became on all different kinds of entertainment outlets as well. So, who's the next? It's because Ryan Seacrest, Michael Strahan then was like morning co-host, and now he's doing, you know, he's always done football and a whole bunch of other things, so.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that because it's almost like they're like, Seacrest is good, but do we have anyone more durable, like an athlete who can do this? Because he's a bigger, more, you know, I don't know. I don't usually watch all that stuff. I try to avoid. I don't know which one I watch. I used to watch all this stuff. I go to bed early now. What's happened?
I don't really watch any of them until we get really close to the top of the new year anyway, like towards like 11:30. I think the news comes on, does it not, at 11, and then they go back. It's weird.
That is always weird. It's like, yeah.
It's like, hey, party, party. Okay, time for the news. Serious
stuff.
That
was Metallica. That was Metallica. Woo, who's ready for the new year? After your local news. It's like, this is kind of
I don't know. Does Andy Cohen still get drunk with Anderson Cooper? Or did that get the kibosh?
I don't know because they're in the process of maybe being sold.
Oh, okay.
So I think usually you have to be in your best behavior.
Maybe is Donald Trump going to get some of his most hated CNN personalities fired on New Year's?
I don't know if that's going to. I don't know.
We're saying that he has, you know, talked about possibly if he can influence anything, some of the ones he doesn't like.
I mean, it's good for the short term buzz if you can.
I've
disliked certain people. I've never wished anyone lost their job.
Well, like, see, there are some people who just live to get revenge, and he seems to be one of them.
I wish he'd let it go. I'm sorry, that Mandami meeting, regardless of what happened or what was fake, I love the idea of them coexisting and saying agree to disagree and fist bump or whatever. I crave that kind of politics again, and I hope something happens.
Give it up.
I'm just saying, I try to remain optimistic.
It's like, bang head into wall, back up, bang head into wall, back up. It's all going to change. It's only transactional at that moment. So
I get it. I'm just saying, I'm trying to stay optimistic.
Yeah,
but eventually it's going to break.
It is what it is. All right. We got a lot of things to talk about anyway. Let's get to Lackawanna County.
This was fun.
Archbald, which I'm so confused by this story because in some ways, it seems that they've made an amendment, right? Yeah. A zoning amendment, which would put data centers, if any are to open, in four different locations in Archbald.
Right. Yes.
Now, the way it is now, if they don't put anything in place, there's a lot of places they could go where people would not be happy. Are they upset because they don't like the four locations? Or do they, because if you do nothing, can't a data center open in a place you wouldn't like it? Are they upset that they even voted on changing anything or what? Or are they just saying we don't want any data centers at all? No. So don't make any places open for them.
There are, like you mentioned this last time, and it is very confusing. There's locations that could just become data centers. And that's just the way it is.
They're trying to change the zoning. But, so they'd have to be in these other places.
But these other places, it's that they're like, oh, well, we were thinking about putting it across the road on the highway, across the other side of the highway. You know, I have a little buffer zone from the people who live in their homes. But now they're like, but we found this cute little quaint spot in between homes and they want to drop it like in and around neighborhoods.
So they're not happy with the location.
No, because it would really, if you look, these four zones, if they all were to come to fruition and all would have data centers, you're talking about just imagine a circle or whatever. It's, you know, if you cut it in four pieces, there'd be one in each piece.
Right.
So it's like you're going to be surrounded by these data centers. So even if they're just a little bit annoying, you couldn't escape them. The entire area would be surrounded. Who knows what it'll do to the economy? What if all the bills go? Like, we don't.
What's interesting is there were so many people there last night. I'm looking at a Fox 56 report. They say the meeting began with a motion to adjourn immediately due to safety concerns as residents overflowed the room and even sat on the floor. But that motion failed. That led to over a dozen residents pleading the council to vote no to the zoning ordinance. So this is the one that they had talked about more than a month ago and left without a decision. So again, it designates four areas in the borough for data centers. Now, the ordinance hasn't changed despite repeated objections from residents who have filled meetings for weeks, and they've even organized protests. Now, the residents created their own zoning proposal, but council is sticking with the original one. So here we go. They had an idea. So Council President Dave Moran, according to this Fox 56 report, reminded the crowd months ago he formed a committee to review zoning, especially related to data centers, and said three more members will be added to continue that review regardless of the outcome of the vote. But Neighbors are worried about the health, the environmental fears, the questions about conflict of interest, long-term impacts on kids and property values, which is always a big concern.
Again, I watched this meeting. A couple parts I had to skip through because it got a little choppy. However, this was the gist from almost everybody. And if someone was there and I have it wrong, please correct me. But it was, you are about to vote on something that you don't know, and you don't know what you're voting on. Can you at least just hit pause? Can you pump the brakes till you'd have the answers to simple questions like, what the hell's going on with this thing? It's just like, you know, if a business came in and said, hey, we're opening a business. We're just going to say it's a business. You don't need to know anything else. We're going to put it in four key locations around houses. Well, what's the business going to do? We don't know. Mm-hmm. What's the business going to cost us? We don't know. And then the people going, we're not saying no. We're just saying, don't do this now. Right. There's no reason to vote this now. And they just said, sorry, 4-2, passed it.
4-3, I think.
One abstention. What's the word when they don't?
It says John Schnipes abstained. Conflict of interest. Councilwoman Erin Owens and Laura Lewis voted no. Council President Dave Moran, Marie Andrioli, Francis Burke, and Richard Guman all voted yes. So one person said, it does not make logical sense. You have not provided us with one reason why they have to be in town. Why do they have to be in town? So there was an hour of public comment. And it got, when they voted, I think you have some of the audio there, right?
Yes.
And, you know, there was nobody from the public speaking in favor of the ordinance. But when they started to announce how they voted on this thing, people got angry.
I abstain.
Lewis?
I don't know.
That's a no vote.
Four.
Wow. You're out.
Terrible.
Francis
vote.
Francis
vote. No,
Francis
didn't vote.
Four. That was it.
All right.
Unbelievable. They passed it and they adjourned that meeting and then it just got really
weird. Smile.
How you're talking about.
Smile.
It was, like I said before, I think the big takeaway for me was there's a lot of people who were made aware that what's there for the people, that who the people voted in isn't working for them. Mm-hmm. Even if they just said, we understand your concerns, and I didn't hear any of that. It was just, this is what we're going to do. We can do this. We will listen to you because we have to listen to you. Outside of that, thanks for coming, but we aren't even listening to what you're saying.
Right.
And
it's just bad from a PR standpoint.
I think you're going to see in that meeting, we should write the names down and look. And next year, we're going to see people running who were in that meeting to say, we want to make a difference and actually listen to people.
Nothing has, no data center has been approved to go in there. But of course, as you make these locations available, it makes it easier to move things along. But we'll see what happens in the new year. I am looking at just business news because there's an economic report that's supposed to be coming out.
Yeah.
But I went over to CNBC and also looking on Bloomberg as well. Local guy, Jeff Cox, he works for CNBC. He used to be in Hazleton Standard Speaker. Reporter does a really great job. He has a story here. It says the U.S. labor market showing further signs of weakening as the pace of layoffs has picked up over the past four weeks. I mean, according to payrolls processing firm ADP, that's a report that just came out. Private companies lost an average of 13,500 jobs a week over the past 4 weeks. That's according to ADP, part of a running update it has been providing. That's an acceleration from the 2,500 jobs a week lost in the last update a week ago. That's a pretty big increase. Now, the government shutdown still impacts data releases. Alternative data like ADP's has been filling in the blanks. So we know that government agencies like the bureaus of labor statistics and economic analysis have released revised schedules, but critical reports such as the monthly non-farm payrolls count will not come out until December. So this is just one of the ways that we're trying to read what's going on. So, you know, 13,500 a week from 2,500 a week, which was what we had from the reports last week. It's pretty tough out there. Somebody else texted us this morning. I'm not really sure, folks. Some of you are, you know, like to say, why aren't you talking about this? Somebody texted us and said, have you been talking about how it's cheaper for Thanksgiving this year than last year? And I'm like, what? First of all, that story that came out, what was that, a couple of weeks ago?
Just with the Walmart stuff?
Was immediately debunked that they had a, you know, a basket that you can just click, you know, purchase the Thanksgiving basket and it's cheaper than it was last year. But it had like 30% fewer products. So if you were to do it with the same basket you had last year, it would have been more expensive. Like, yeah. Folks, if you don't do the shopping in your house, you may not have a, you know, maybe you don't look at the amount of money someone spends. And I think as you have more money and you're more comfortable, you may not pay as much attention. As the one who goes out to the grocery store, I do shop. I think you shop as well, don't you? You go with your wife sometimes?
As mostly it's me because I make good conscious decisions.
No, but the thing is, you can tell me what you can tell me. The sky is purple when it's blue. And when I'm at the grocery store, I can tell you you're lying. It is not cheaper. The vast majority of things are costing more money. That's just it. It is what it is.
But look, Thanksgiving, I had this discussion with someone who swore to me, oh, no, it's cheaper and you're wrong. I'm like, I could put together a Thanksgiving meal that's really expensive. I could also put one together that's really cheap. You know why? Because there's a lot of sales this time of year. I just pulled up, buy a local turkey. I found one here for $18. Oh, it's at Walmart. Then I also found one at a place called Market House. Don't know what that is. $45. If I go to Meat and Bone, I think that's a mail order turkey. Oh, it's an Amish turkey, $134.99. And I know you, that's not what they mean. Well, yeah, it is, because you need the turkey, but everything else around it needs to come with it. This is like, there's so many sales this time of year. It's like Black Friday for eating.
Right.
That's what this is.
And there's ways you can do it cheaper, like you just said. There are ways that you can try to, rather than go, like if Walmart did the exact same products as they did last year, it would be more. There's a reason why they wanted to keep the cost down and they changed some things. But overall, grocery prices, even if you don't look at just a Thanksgiving meal, because you may find a product here or there that is the same as it was. But overall, grocery prices are up for most people.
Like, there are, I'm starting to see an occasional sale on like what I'll consider to be junk or comfort food, or in this case, sodas. For some reason, out of nowhere, they stopped going. You're finding 99-cent deals for 2 liters. We haven't seen that in a while. To me, that's a positive sign. It's like my Dorito rule. I don't want to spend $7 for a bag of Doritos. I want to spend about $2.99. That's my limit. Occasionally, you see that. To me, that's good. But overall, no. I mean, but if your argument is, hey, the cost of a Thanksgiving meal is so much cheaper, and I look and you have instant mashed potatoes versus, those are cheaper alternatives. So you can find a way to make your point. But if you're making your point versus it just being factual, it's two totally different things.
Right. So it's, you know, if you go out and shop, you know what things used to be and you know what they are now. And like, I know that I can go to, rather than one store to get stuff, I will look and see what's on sale and I'll get some stuff at one store and some stuff at the other. You have to kind of think ahead and plan it out sometimes to try to get a deal. It's not always cheaper, though, if you're going out of your way with the gas to go get and save a couple of bucks here or there.
Yeah, overall, things are typically far more expensive. Well, I'd say they're more expensive than last year and the year before. It just seems like we're getting more comfortable. Like, I always kept waiting for the prices to come back down, and now it seems like the normal is more expensive. So, hey, have at it. If you can get a much cheaper Thanksgiving meal, or you found a way to get your groceries really cheap, please share that secret, because I'm not seeing it overall.
Right. Well, I did get a free turkey, so I think that'll be cheaper than what I got last year. I did not have a free turkey last year, so my cost may be going down because of it. But I also spent a lot more at the grocery store for other products.
Thus, everyone's Thanksgiving is cheaper, Nancy, because yours is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So this Saturday, Rutgers versus Penn State.
Yeah.
The Nittany Lions are feeling a lot of excitement. Really good game the other night and a lot of support from the team and the fans at Beaver Stadium for Terry Smith, the interim head coach. Yep. Did you see already? Now, that was the last home game for Penn State. And already they've taken the temporary bleachers down. They're doing that remodel, reconstruction.
By the way, side note. They did a hell of a job with that. It looked it looked really sturdy. I didn't go this year, but it looked like they did a bang up job with that.
And now it's already coming apart because they've got to get things together with that whole rebuild. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
Probably very similar to what it looked like this year, but they said there's going to be a lot more fun things.
Sure. So, bigger experience, bells and whistles and fun things like that.
So anyway, the game this Saturday,
we will have coverage for you on WILK. 3:30 is the kickoff. 2 o'clock, the pregame. And is this the last game of the season?
Yeah. If they win, they get a bowl game. If not,
possibly.
Then
and people are talking about what the Pinstripe Bowl, which would be Pitt versus Penn State.
I said confidently, Rutgers is a joke. I went there. They are not like a legit. I don't know how they got in the Big Ten. If I'm being honest.
All right. So you're saying that
I don't want to jinx anybody, but yeah, Rutgers
if we lost,
lose.
It would be shocking.
Wouldn't deserve a bowl game, and we would.
All right. So here's the question. In this time of where a lot of these seniors may be looking to the NFL, not a lot, but some of them.
Got a lot of seniors too this year.
There's a lot. So is a bowl game, if it's not like a bowl game, you know what I mean? Is it something that they want to participate in? Because you always have to also worry about any kind of injuries.
Were the big ones? It was the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl,
the Sugar Bowl.
Was the Fiesta Bowl part of the four? There was four big ones. Rose Bowl. It was like four or five. Then all of a sudden it's like Taco Bell Bowl.
I know, and now there's just the championship, which is the big deal.
I think
now.
Snoop Dogg had a bowl. I'm not kidding. By the way, so. I'm not kidding. I think he had a bowl, and I don't know if I'd missed the reference till right now that Snoop Dogg might have had a bowl. Mm. Hilarious, if that's the case. But,
that's true.
But they don't mean as much, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's just like it's good for the local economy. Where are people going to travel to and spend their money in what city?
Right. Right. So we'll see what happens with that game and what happens after that, after a really, really tough season where you wouldn't even, if you were to look at the college rankings, if you had a chance at the beginning of the season to look at those rankings and see where Penn State is at, you would be in absolute shock.
During the game on Saturday, they showed the Big Ten rankings, just the Big Ten rankings. And even knowing how bad the season has been for Penn State, I'm looking at this going, wait, my eyes are jumping up. Where is Penn State?
Yeah,
nope, they weren't anywhere near it.
Not even in the 25. It's so
I'm talking about just the Big Ten. Like they missed the top eight in the Big Ten. And I know that seems obvious. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they didn't. This was really such a train wreck of a season.
And it's sad because, you know, that Indiana game that they played and could have won, right? And what could have been.
Oregon,
there's so much. No, Indiana, they could have won, too.
Okay.
That one came down to just bad. Remember at the end, they were up and they lost it in the last 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah. For some of the games have been blacked out.
Oregon, of course, too. But what I'm saying is, you know, Terry Smith had a real tough job.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of talking behind the scenes. Honestly, I think there could be an interesting movie or something about this season. Because eventually people are going to try to find out and dissect what happened. What happened behind the scenes? Because Terry Smith or anybody as an interim coach trying to undo and redo what had happened there. It's what could have been with the talent that they do have. It's mind blowing what had happened.
I think as people start to break it down, there's two questions. Were the rankings wrong? like the people that do the rankings, were they way off? Or did this team just collapse? Like, there's
it's a little of everything, because I think the rankings were off. We knew, as being big Penn State fans that we are, we even were, when we saw those first few games, it was obvious that this was not a team, when you saw them, that you thought they deserved that second ranking.
I think we had a conversation early in the, at least either before the season or after the first week, going, I feel like number two isn't where we should be. We should be somewhere around number eight, and then we'll get up to number three or five.
Everything
or
about it seemed like it just didn't look like what the expectation was.
But then usually the way it works, we go from like eight to like five to four or three. We think national championship. Something happens. We drop back to like 12 or 15, and then we end up ending the season around eight. This year was just a complete disaster.
Yeah,
so
really,
I don't know.
So it's probably a number of things. And you know, a lot of people say, what should have happened? Should Drew Aller have gone to the NFL draft? Mm. There are those who say that was his time. The coach at the time should have said, Bo is our guy. Drew goes to the NFL. And that allowing, you know, because really for poor, I feel for Drew Aller, because that was his peak to get into the NFL. Now he's got to really get over this injury, start practicing, or, you know, doing stuff with some teams to let them know what he can do.
Like any player of his caliber, sure, it's in there somewhere, but can the right coach bring it out? And if they can't, he'll just find something else to do with his life. And he's made good money at Penn State. But, you know, I don't know if it's over for him. He's still a young kid.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, all the statistics and all the odds are against him. They're against every player in college.
Yeah, it's tough. All right. And also, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, me, look, what happened with Dallas was just horrible. It was such a collapse. And I'm looking at some headlines. After latest collapse, Eagles have no choice but to replace Kevin Petullo. That's the NBC Sports Philadelphia story. Here's another one from NBC Sports Philly. Eagles Nick Sirianni explains why he isn't demoting Kevin Petullo. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni pours freezing cold water on decision. This is Kevin Petullo, right? That may completely change the future of Philadelphia's offense. Eagles are not making a key change along their coaching staff. Others have said, look, if there's going to be a change, it's not coming from Nick Sirianni. He's buds with this guy. People are saying if it comes down, it's going to be Howie or somebody else who's going to force it. But there are many, many fans. I'm on a, you know, I follow a bunch of them and go on different message boards. I don't participate, but I watch. And there are a lot who say the way it's going right now, they do not believe this is a team that will win a Super Bowl with that kind of offense. Something is up. And it's not that they don't have the talent. Is this a coaching problem? Then they have an injury problem. I don't know if you saw this. Eagles safety Andrew Mukuba will undergo surgery to repair a fractured ankle. He suffered that in Sunday's loss.
Come on, tough it out, man.
They won't know except during the surgery whether or not there is a potential for him to return this season.
Well, that's a positive. I'm joking, but that's a positive. You can come back
if
after
you don't
that.
Know. Yes.
Yes.
But still, this is an injury that happened. A promising second round rookie out of Texas was making progress in Vic Fangio's defense. So not only did we suck up the end of that game, but we ended up having injuries. So Reed Blankenship, other starting safety, also picked up an injury in the Cowboys game. His status unclear. And they've got a game coming out, a big one with the Chicago Bears. It's going to be a tough one.
The crazy thing is, at the end of the day, I just double check because they keep expanding it. It's four playoff wins. Have the Eagles had a four-game winning streak this year? I think they have. If they haven't, all you need is a four-game winning streak in the playoffs, and you win the Super Bowl.
I hope so.
You get hot at the right time, anything can happen.
Here is Joe Snedeker, the meteorologist with Storm Tracker 16, our personal meteorologist, to give us the forecast for this Turkey Day and into the holiday weekend.
Hi, folks, and welcome to, what is it, Thanksgiving Eve? And I don't want to build unnecessary drama, but I don't know. It's a thing, right? Come on. Everyone's in holiday mode already, perhaps. Snedeker here from WNEP-TV. Well, let's admit it. We're all working less. You know, the teachers, they're mailing it in. If you even go to your doctor, he's mailing it in. If you might have something serious, he's going to say, you'll be fine. Be careful. The next couple days, Everyone's mailing it in. Today, it's going to be kind of cloudy, but mild, up near 50. Showers invade this afternoon. Steady rain by mid, late afternoon and evening. The rain tonight comes with warm air. Could hit 50 tonight while you sleep and even go up by daybreak tomorrow into the 50s. Now, tomorrow's going to be an awesome Wednesday. Thanksgiving Eve. Cloudy to partly sunny, passing shower, but 60 degrees. Could tomorrow be the last 60 of the year? So again, enjoy your Thanksgiving Eve tomorrow, warm temperatures. And then you know it, on Thanksgiving, partly sunny in the morning. It'll turn cloudy with some flurries and a cold wind in the afternoon on Thanksgiving, with highs barely reaching 40. Cold and windy on Friday with some flurries. And Saturday looks quiet at this point. The rest, my friend, that's up to you. There's only two people I know not mailing it in, and that's Jason and Nancy. They made me say that. Make it a good week.
Thank you. At least he gets our messages. I thought he was ignoring
not
me.
Not mailing it in. We're not.
Hi.
By the way, in case you missed the show yesterday, I told you the Martha Stewart best time for a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah. Please tell me it's not different.
2 p.m.
Okay, all right.
Whew. So in case you missed it, we did. I think we let off the show because, you know what, we're in that pre-holiday kind of mood. So we've done some political stories, but we're also talking about other things that everyone can relate to here.
I forgot to bring that up. Do you remember what time I said was the perfect time for Thanksgiving? Do you remember? At first I said
what?
12, and then I said earlier, 11.
11, yes. And
my wife, this is how much we're on the same page. She tells me Thanksgiving dinner this year, 4 or 5.
That's what is happening, or what is
what
the perfect
is,
time?
No, what is happening? And I said, but I just publicly announced. And she goes,
so why did it go later?
I don't even know. Okay. She couldn't give me a clear answer other than the fact that she wanted to watch. She said, I want to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and then start the turkey. And I said, okay. You know, we have like the ability to pause live television now. We could be like, hey, and then we'll skip through commercials.
Oh, there you go.
I don't have a good answer for it.
Uh-huh.
But either way, I have no say in my life.
Well, we've always done it because we have older people that don't want to drive in the night. And pretty soon I'll be one of those older people that don't want to drive in the dark. So we've always done it earlier, but I think it's perfect. We do 12, 1 o'clock, and then you can eat. Yeah. You sit down and relax, chit chat, maybe watch some football or something. Then you get hungry again and you could either pick again or you eat the desserts then. And, you know, all of it's done in like 2 to 3 hours. And then you go home and you can cuddle and, you know, whatever.
Who are you cuddling with?
Bunker down.
I'm going to.
For the evening.
My wife? No. Aww. She's not cuddling with me. Yeah. She doesn't say that, but that's how
Martha
it feels.
Martha Stewart said 2 o'clock. No, actually, when we talked about it, didn't you say she's someone who knows a lot about doing time?
Wait, what?
Martha Stewart, when I said she had the perfect time, and you're like, well, she is an expert on doing time.
I said, I think it's something like that. Well, she knows something about time.
But she says 2 p.m., the perfect time for Thanksgiving meal. So what do you think the perfect time is?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're going to get out in a moment. We have a lot of birthdays today, but first, a couple of things that happened on this date. In 1867, Alfred Nobel patented his invention of dynamite. Dynamite.
Did he win something, say, named after him?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe. What?
1984, okay. Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid, recorded in London. Lots and lots of stars on that. In 1986, on this day, the Iran-Contra affair erupted as President Reagan and Attorney General Meese revealed their profits, or that profits, from secret arms sales to Iran had been diverted to Nicaraguan Contra rebels fighting the country's communist government. Also on this date in 1996, after 24 years, the Disneyland Main Street parade ended.
The electric.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think that was the difference. But either way, come on, bring it back.
How dare they? All right, it's time for us to play a little game.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
Seems to be a pretty good number of birthdays.
Let's
today. You
it.
Got your work cut out for you. You should be able to do this pretty well.
I mean, every day is about the same, but sure.
November the 25th. How old are these celebrities? Christina Applegate, what do you say?
She's a little older than I am, and she has so many health problems now. I hope she's doing well. 54.
She is 54. Right on the head. Good for you. Barbara and Jenna Bush, former first daughters.
Trick question. They're not actual twins. No, they are. Aren't they twins? I think they must be.
They must be since they're both the same age.
They've got to be. Bob Cardaro's here to try to steal my fun. I was going to say 44.
So they're 44. You're right on the nose. Yeah, there you go. Football player. Well, former. Donovan McNabb. How old is he?
He's 52, Bob. Well, I was going to say 52.
He's 49.
Yeah, we both screwed up.
John Larroquette, Night Court. How old is
he? Can we at least turn Bob's mic on?
Yeah,
so
I mean, if he's going to talk, we might as well. He's just going to walk in and play.
Can't beat him, join him.
Why don't you let Jason guess first?
89.
Bob. John Larroquette? No, he's probably 75.
He's 78.
Ooh, so close.
Ben Stein, or should I say Ben Stein?
Ben Stein. He's got to be 85 now.
86. He's
81.
Still don't have his mic on, by the way.
I got one more. Okay. Singer Amy Grant.
66.
65.
What?
Did well. There you go. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday. And if it's your anniversary, have a very happy anniversary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.